Final hour of the show, Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Olympics going on, track and field. D-Mace and I are watching the steeplechase, the pole vault, and the 200-meter sprints. I love the 200. Teron Davenport is on with us now for his weekly update. And Teron, we were asking during the break, if you're a steeplechase guy, do you think you could run the steeplechase? Like, who grows up saying, that's my event, the
steeplechase? People without friends. People without friends.
It's like the craziest. Yeah. Isn't it the craziest event ever to watch? That you got to jump over the water and stuff?
Yeah, it's the most wild event to watch, all the stuff that they have to do. It's funny you ask that because I did some ESPN radio last weekend, and one of the topics was if we were able to add a sport to the Olympics, what would it be, and what do we think we would win a gold medal in? I said NASCAR instantly, man. So, you know, that would be my answer.
So steeplechase isn't your race then?
No, steeplechase isn't my race. But, you know, if you're on one of these highways and you see a blue Camaro zip by you, that would be me.
Okay. So if you were to walk out to a track team, though, and just said, I want to be on the track team, which event do you think you would be gravitated towards? Would it be any what, like distance running, sprints, discus? Like they got so many things going on the track.
Yeah, it would probably be the 400. It would probably be that. And that was another thing we went
that's
over.
D-Mace's that's favorite another event to watch, the 400.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a grown man's race. But I told him on the air, I said, look, I'll run whatever race you want, and I would probably win it as long as you have a dog chasing me.
Now, that would be, you know, you have to put the asterisk next to the world record.
Yeah.
He did have a dog chasing him on that. So it was aided by the dog, the dog chasing him. So, TD, we were talking about some of the things we've seen over the weekend, but let's start with the news that happened overnight. And you sort of hinted that it was moving this direction when they signed Jamal Adams, that they might indeed end up signing Quandre Diggs. But indeed, they've gotten him now. So tell me your vision for how they're going to use Diggs.
Yeah, I think he's going to mix in. So you got to remember, they used a lot of three safety looks in Baltimore last year. And Denard Wilson, he's a safety at heart, right? You know, he had a cup of tea in the league with Washington, you know, as a safety. So rest assured, they're going to do that. And you look at back when he had in Philadelphia, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a safety playing the nickel. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you look at some of the older Eagles and Ravens from last year, you'll see exactly how he's going to use them. And the Quandre Diggs, I saw some people say, hey, you know, this signing is because of Jamal Adams not practicing and it's a bigger – no, this was something that they were going to roll out with both of them, you know, announce both of them being signed. It had been, you know, as early as that. There was an offer out, and it kind of had been going back and forth, and it had just been working through the process, and now he's here.
Now, TD, who do you think is the odd man out? Because now they've gotten some depth at that safety position. You know, molding it to me is more of a high. He can play both the corner and the safety position. So his value is there. But you add a Diggs, you get Adams, who Adams is more to me of a specialized guy. Now, we don't know if he can cover or not. Hopefully now he's better at covering now that he's fully healthy. So he could be another guy that's used in certain situations. But who do you think is the guy, the odd man out in here?
Yeah, I think the odd man out ends up being somebody like a Mike Brown, mm-hmm. who entering camp, I'm like, yeah, Mike Brown will be like the fourth safety, you know, or fifth safety. But you also look at Matthew Jackson and – guys, Matthew Jackson has three interceptions, right? More than anyone else in camp, you know, so you have to note that. But then also, you look at what he does on special teams. Like, Quandre Diggs, you're not going to have him playing special teams. You're going to have Jamal Adams playing special teams. You're not going to have Amani Hooker playing special teams. So now it comes down to, okay, do they keep five safeties on the strength of Matthew Jackson and Elijah Molden playing special teams and Molden's versatility to play corner as well. I think that's going to be something that you have to watch. And then if that's the case, then, okay, where do you short, like what other position group do you shorten to account for the five safeties?
Now, TD, do you think they're making all of these moves? Because Will and I discussed this earlier, and I looked at it from the standpoint of this is sort of like insurance for the quarterback. You get you a good defense, a defense that, you know, allows, let's just say, 14 points a game, 15 points a game. You get you that type of defense so your quarterback doesn't have to put the whole team on his back, that you can sort of slow walk him and sort of allow him to sort of grow within his offense. Because if they don't have a defense, we know how it's going to be. They're going to try to score points. They're going to be throwing the ball around the yard. And I just don't think that's advantageous for Levis at this time, even though he do have the receivers that can possibly do that. But you bolster up that defense and you make your quarterback's job a little bit easier.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly the case. All across the board, I think the mission was to put things in place to get the best, just the best evaluation of Will Levis possible. And if you look at it, you know, you guys were talking about the offensive line, right? Right guard with Dylan Raiders or Sadiq Charles. And by the way, Charles has been away the last couple of days for personal. He had an excused absence. But you look at him and then you look at Petit Ferrer, Jalen Duncan, and those guys in the mix. You know, if that offensive line comes together, there literally are no excuses for Will Levis. Like, you got the weapons, you got the scheme, you got the protection, you got the defense that should keep teams, you know, keep games close. There's no excuse. So I think that's kind of the way they set it up. And, you know, if I'm Will Levis, I'm smiling and I'm enjoying it because I know a good couple years and it's going to be, you know, $250+ million for him. So, yeah, I think it's being put in place for that kind of situation.
Well, if they have to give Will Levis $250 million, that's a good thing. That means he's the quarterback moving forward. Ken, in the situation that Traylon's in, does he have a legitimate opportunity to move up in the pecking order? Because, listen, if it was Nick Westerbrook, Akine who got injured, or maybe a Tyler Boyd, I can see him doing enough to probably, you know, move them sort of to the side and he take their spot. But it's D-Hop. Can he do enough to, while D-Hop is down, to earn enough, you know, sort of points to be in the rotation heavy? Because before the injury, we didn't know whether Traylon was going to be in the rotation heavy. You know, you knew he would play, but how much? But now, because of the injury, Traylon seems to be taking the baton and running with it. Is there a scenario where he starts to become more of a focal point of the offense?
Yeah, I don't know about becoming more of a focal point of the offense, but I think he's going to be in a rotation, and it's almost like that's going to happen regardless because you look at this. I mean, you know how it goes, man. You run a go route, and you're like, hey, man, you're tapping the top of the helmet, you know what I mean? And you got to come out, you know, or let's say, you know, you catch a ball and you get your bell rung, you got to come out. There's going to be different reasons why, you know, he'll be rotated in. And I don't think he's in a spot where he'll be able to, you know, supplant Hopkins or any of the other three. But the fact that he's cross-training, he's knowing F, Z, and X, I think that's going to give him more opportunities to get in the mix. And then, you know, you're starting to see just some plays that they have installed to specifically take advantage of his skill set. So you'll have those opportunities as well.
We talk with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans as they're in training camp. They're getting geared up for their first game of the season this Saturday. And listen to Talking with TD on his podcast. Check it out. Looking at, we haven't talked much about the running back position. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe that's a good thing because nobody's really, you know, did anything bad. So it's just been when you're doing good, nobody typically says anything about you. But how is that running back room shaking out?
Yeah, you know, and I kept saying thank you because it gives me opportunity to talk about Hassan Haskins. Mm. Now, we know what's up with Pollard and Tajay Spears. Like, they're going to duke it out. Some may get first-team reps, some may get second, and it'll switch from day-to-day, whatever. But that third running back spot is pretty open, right? You got Jabari Small, you got Julius Chestnut, and you got Hassan Haskins. And I tell you, I watched him, you know, throughout camp, and I pulled him aside recently. I said, "Man, did you lose some weight?" And he said, "Yeah, he did lose some weight. He's actually down. He was around like 238 coming in. He's down about 228, 229, and you can see explosiveness. And I think when you have a 228-pound back that could do a jump cut and accelerate out of that jump cut the way he did last week, you got something cooking. And, you know, he's running with power. He's hitting the hole quickly. And he still is good in pass pro, and he's a guy that, you know, is going to play special teams. In fact, he led the team in special teams tackles, you know, as a rookie. So I think he makes the roster. Now, is that going to be solely as a third down back? I don't know, but I know his special teams aspect is going to help him. So, you know, that's something to watch. I don't think they could push him to the practice squad like they could probably do with a Julius Chestnut or a Jabari Small.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, talking with TD here on 102.5 The Game. Teron, you can't help but notice in these practices, and it's a credit to Tavondre Sweat because he's not missing any reps, but it's being echoed by Coach Callahan, that those two guys make every play for the offense challenging because they're so powerful in the middle of that defensive line. I hope it's not a mirage. I don't think it is, but it seems like there's a lot of things that can be done off of those two guys if it can stay intact.
Yeah. Here's a message for the Tavondre Sweat is lazy and out of shape crowd. He ran down the screen. So during team period, red zone, just regular red zone, Levis dumped the screen to Tony Pollard. Pollard ran about 15 yards down the field. You know who was down the field with him? Tavondre Sweat. But here's the kicker, fellas. He came back on the next rep and the next one and the next one and the next. So for me, when you look at something like that, you know, a big 350-pounder running down the screen and coming back and playing two more snaps or three more snaps, that lets you know that he's getting into the shape that he needs to get in. And, I mean, look, like he's the guy right now at nose tackle. Like, it's him. So I think we should quiet all the out-of-shape stuff and everything like that. And you're right. When you look at these two together, he and Simmons, and don't sleep on Sebastian Joseph Day either. That front is pretty attractive. Now, we'll see what happens, you know, with the guys on the outside, you know, with Arden Key and his situation. But I think you look at Simmons and Sweat, and they're working together in tandem, you know, during an individual period also. It's fun to watch, and I think they're going to cause some problems.
Do you see anybody behind let's presume for the moment that Harold Landry is Harold Landry, reliable, solid edge rusher on one side, and you don't have Key for six games. I'm not seeing any obvious edge presence right now. So weigh that. Tell me who the candidates are, and maybe do you think they're peeking around on the waiver wire for somebody else in this situation?
Yeah, I think they're peeking around, and you look at familiarity, right? Denard Wilson, he was in Baltimore. Tyus Bowser is a free agent, and he was a starter before he got injured. So you do have that. But you look at on the roster, obviously Rashad Weaver, he's the guy that comes up to mind when you're talking about the depth behind Arden Key. But don't sleep on Jalen Harrell. And I think, you know, Brownlee too, we'll put it this way, he is having a really good camp. One of the best camps out of the rookie defensive guys. So he's probably the one that I would say, and you always got the veteran Shane Ray in there too. But Harrell has been getting pressure. You know, he's developing a power rush. He has a series of moves. I think he's the guy along with Rashad Weaver.
Now, TD, obviously this will be the first time the Titans sort of get to work their kickoff, this new kickoff rule. What guys are back there? Are they, you know, from what you've seen, are they using two returners? Are they using one? And if they are, then who are the two guys that are back there now?
Yeah, we're seeing a one returner look. Treylon Burks is among the guys back there, so that's a good thing. We'll see how that continues, right, with Hopkins, where he is. But, you know, you got Treylon Burks, you got Sam Snead, you got Mason Kinsey, Tajay Spears,
Jaquan Jackson.
Jaquan Jackson, and I would imagine eventually you're going to see Hassan Haskins over there too.
TD, before we let you go, what about the Mason Kinsey antics? It certainly livens up practice each day, and the reason he's able to do these things is he's catching touchdown passes. He's catching first downs. It's impressive to watch. Now, he's doing it in the twos or the threes, but what do you make of all that? Like, it is adding a little life and energy to practice, which, if nothing else, is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that Mason connection, right? He and Mason Rudolph has been pretty productive. Mason Rudolph jokingly said that, first off, he has a
cool first name, so that's why I'm getting him the ball. I just love him. He brings energy, man. Like, he's a juice guy, 100%. You saw him catch the touchdown, get up and look at the tent and hit the salsa on him. You see him.
So it was the salsa? That was the dance that he did?
Yeah, he hit the salsa on him, Victor Cruz style, you know what I mean? And then he got up, he made the first catch in team period, and then he got up and he, you know, just kind of gestured to the crowd. He's a high-energy guy, you know what I mean? And you need that. And his routes are really, really good, you know? So he's someone to watch during one-on-ones, especially with the joint practices. But, yeah, man, like the guy, he's trying to get himself a spot. I told him because he punted the ball, and it had like a 5-second hang time.
It was
like,
way up there.
Just Stonehouse to run for his money. He just smiled and he just said, "Hey man, the more you could do." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. That's fact."
And he sported the Derek Mason 1999 Super Bowl T-shirt the other day there.
Yeah.
Where did he get that thing? I wonder.
Well, you know the great Titans fans on Twitter, they always do their research, and they found that it's at I forgot where they found it. I want to say Abercrombie and Fitch, one of those outlets. But they found it, you know.
Well, there you
Wait,
go.
Like currently, you can
like you can walk into Abercrombie now and get it. Is it on a clearance rack?
I need to know more about this. That's pretty random. That's good stuff. TD, great stuff. We'll see you out on the field here over the next week or so. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Hey, man, do my guy Nick a favor, man. You guys got to get to the break better, man. He's back there in the booth, you know, shaking.
Yeah.
Nick could be all right.
Yeah. But I know the reaction you're talking about. It just gets that little itch, the twitch. Yeah. When the clock goes off, yeah, he starts sweating a little
bit. You got Dr. Crane ready to do bad things.
All right, TD, we got to get to the break. Thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, fellas.
TD joining us here on 102.5 The Game. Great stuff. When we come back, we're going to tell you the FTN Football Almanac grades on this coming Titans season. And tell you what kind of optimism they have and see if you agree. I think you'll enjoy what they have to say. Stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.